Where'd Andy go? Andy left. What happened?
He's fed up with you and your bull. He's got his fedora on right now and he's leaving.
Where did you go?
Oh my God. I was telling you to stop talking so I could hear you. And the cat decided to walk over the keyboard and cut us off.
I'm Captain Benjamin Sisko. Welcome to Deep Space Nine.
Red alert! All crew members report to battle stations.
Red alert. Shields up.
What shields?
You Starfleet officers! Now start acting like it!
Oh, it's just Garak. Plain, simple Garak.
Dax, we might have just discovered the first stable wormhole known to exist.
The wormhole does bring them our way, doesn't it?
Everyone wants a piece of the new frontier.
This will shortly become a leading center of commerce and of scientific exploration. And for Starfleet, one of our most important posts.
Quite a motley crew you've assembled here, Benji.
Listen to the Prophets, a Deep Space Nine podcast.
And here are your hosts, Andrew Leyland, Paul Spataro, and Dr. Bill Robinson.
Bloody hell.
Oh, what's going on? You guys there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know.
Is Andy not here now?
Andy. He came and he left without changing. And we sent him away. Oh, Andy.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Did you hear us singing, Oh, Andy?
I did. It was glorious. It was Barry Manilow would be weeping.
He would be weeping.
Magnificence.
He would be
with
weep-
which you interpreted his song.
He would be weeping if his eye, if his face wasn't pulled back so far his tear ducts were shut down. <now.
laughs> Okay.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Listen to the Prophets, a Deep Space Nine review program where myself and my compatriots are taking every episode of the great and underrated Star Trek series Deep Space Nine and reviewing it and discussing it and spitting it out and seeing how it looks to us. My name is Paul Spataro. I am joined by Dr. William Robinson.
Hello, I am the third cousin twice removed of Moog.
You are the cranky, I haven't eaten anything or drank anything cousin of Moog.
Yes, I must go give Klingon blood wine.
You're gonna go, and there's gonna be those globs of blue blood floating in the air, or purple blood, or whatever it was.
No, it'll be yellow for the Mountain Dew.
That's true. Okay, and we are joined by Sir Andrew Leyland.
I am from the family Moog, but I'm from the other side of the planet. But lots of planets have a north.
The other side of the Klingon pond.
Yes. I like the idea that Klingon British people kill each other, but they do it with class. I'm terribly sorry that I slid that dagger between your ribs.
So instead of the North, would you be from the Nogra?
Yeah, alright. If you say so.
Well, that was the name of the guy that came and gets him at the end or whatever, I believe. Nogra.
I'm just thinking of them using...
I'm from the House of Nogra.
I'm just thinking of them using, like, Klingon language, but doing it with an English accent. Hey, you're quite a patok!
Kapla!
Kapla!
Kapla, Gazna! Good day! It is a good day to die.
It would be a good day to die, but it's not in my contract.
Therefore, I bid you good day, sir!
Kill you where you stand if it was in my contract.
I bid you good day to die, sir!
Oh, you've made me choke on me tea. Bip, bip, kapla. My bat left. But not before I've had a good English breath.
I just want to see the Klingon version of James Bond.
Well, we've seen the Cardassian version.
That is true. That's very true, actually. But well, he was actually, I mean, Bashir was Bond. Garak was Dr. Watson.
Yeah.
faster.
Garrett was singing. What's his name? Felix Leiter.
Yeah, that would be the closest comparison. So as we sit here today, and I was just about to say any Star Trek news, and I guess the Star Trek news is that we've had the premiere, and actually a few episodes have come up of Discovery, and by the time you hear this, that'll be in the rearview mirror. So there will be some sort of an episode that we will do, a special episode kind of covering, you know, our thoughts on that series. We're not going to do an episode-by-episode guide, though. But again, that'll be in the rearview mirror by the time you hear this, so now you'll have some perspective on things.
They would have already heard that.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what the rearview mirror is, Bill.
No. They would have heard that episode. Oh, okay. Never mind. I caught up now. It's early. I'm tired.
Bill is in the rearview mirror.
Wait! Don't go! I'm the little kid in AI that's standing there as the mother drives away.
Robot boy lost in the forest.
You just drive away in your electric car and leave me standing on the side of the road going, I was going to make espresso.
No, actually, you were coming along with us, and I shot you in the knee and we left.
A zombie bait.
We were driving along in our electric car, but it didn't get us down the road long enough, so you just ran after us.
We had a solar-powered electric car going along the road.
And I was so slow I couldn't even keep up.
But we had to keep it below 20 miles an hour or the battery expired, so once again, Bill was able to run alongside us.
I picture the chase scene, if you remember it, from the episode of Seinfeld when George got a rascal.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen that, Andy.
Nope.
His boss thinks he's handicapped, so he gets him a rascal, you know, one of those scooters. And he's driving along the street and he bumps into a senior citizen's rascal. And the guy comes out and he's angry at him, so he starts chasing him, and he gets on his rascal and he's chasing after him, and it's going like maybe 2 miles an hour. Actually kind of amusing, and that's what I'm picturing with Bill chasing after us. No, you're leaving me here! Meanwhile, we're just kind of...
tootling along in our electric car.
So other than the premiere of Discovery, any Star Trek news for you guys?
Shag Matthews introduced me to a Star Trek podcast that's quite fun. It's called Literary Treks, and it's just all about the books, and it's really good fun. It's really good to listen to.
Oh.
So I randomly sampled a couple of them this week. One about the Ashes of Eden. One about the Mirror Mirror comic book series that DC did, which annoyed me because I wanted to do. I may still, fuck them. And one about Federation or Prime Directive. The Prime Garfield Directive, yeah. And Judith Reeves Stevens one. They were all fun to listen to. Yeah, they don't seem to do them in any logical order. They just seem to randomly pick a novel and decide to chat about it. But it's a good show. It's not new. So it's news, I think, episodes. But either, it's new to me.
It's new to you. It's Literary Treks?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds rather interesting. I think, as far as Discovery goes, I haven't found it yet, but I think Zaki Hassan is doing a show with somebody where they're going over that episode by episode.
The Mission Log people are doing it as well.
Oh, really? Same guys that do the show normally. I couldn't even get the words.
Yeah, do it in one immediately after the show was, but they will again watch Discovery when they get there in however many years it will take them to get there.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about other podcasts, because you should just be listening to us. And if you're not listening to us, or when you're done listening to us and you have all that free time, you should be listening to Palace of Glittering Delights and Back to the Bins and the occasional Hey Kids comics and Is It Yours? Because those are far more important than any other show we could possibly mention.
That's true.
But today we're here to look at Sons of Moog, Season 4, Episode 15 of Deep Space Nine.
It is a code of honor.
I have brought disgrace to our family.
Only a Klingon can live by.
The sons of Mok reunited.
It is a tradition of blood.
I want you to kill me.
Only a Klingon can die for.
No honor, no future.
Goodbye, my brother.
One age-old ritual.
To be charged with murder.
Be Worf's last on the next Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Directed by David Livingston, written by Ronald Moore. Features Tony Todd as Kern, Robert Dokoi as Nagra, Del Yount as Tikia, and D. Elliot Woods as a Klingon officer. It originally aired on February 12, 1996. Worf gets an unexpected visit from his younger brother Kern, who arrives on the station drunk and brandishing a knife. Kern is released into Worf's care. When Kern wakes in Worf's quarters, he confronts Worf about the dishonor Worf has brought upon the House of Mog, after rejecting the Klingon Empire's war with the Cardassian Empire. Worf acknowledges what has happened, but would debate it with Kern. As a result of Worf's choices, his house has been disbanded. Its land and ships have all been seized. Kern was consequently ejected from the High Council and dishonored. Kern has lost everything he cared about and has lost all honor, and Worf has taken it away without suffering the consequences. Now he wants Worf to give him back his honor the only way he can, by having Worf ritually kill him. Worf begins the ceremony, but Jadzia Dax realizes what Worf is planning when she runs into Odo and finds out that the Klingon who came here to see Worf was his brother, as well as the incense that he purchased. She and Odo rush to interrupt the ceremony, but Kern has been stabbed. Dax quickly has herself and Kern beamed to the infirmary, and Dr. Bashir manages to save him. Captain Sisko is furious and forbids that Worf complete the ceremony, and reminds both Dax and Worf that he has given them both a lot of leeway with regard to Klingon ritual, and says frankly that he has reached the limit of what he will allow. Worf visits Kern, where Kern tells Worf that he is not truly a Klingon. Kern points out that despite initiating the ceremony, Worf did not threaten and vigorously fight Dax and Odo to continue the ceremony, nor did he come ready to kill Kern in the infirmary. Kern, without an honorable life or death, places himself in Worf's hands. Dax visits Worf to apologize for stopping the ceremony, and Worf says that she acted as she felt right, and that was honorable. Worf asks Dax for advice about what to do next, as Worf believes that Kern will need something to do with his time. At Dax's suggestion, Worf asks Odo for a favor and gets Kern a position with Odo's Bajoran security force. However, Kern loses his position when he allows himself to be shot without any attempt to defend himself. The subplot running through the episode is mysterious explosions accompanied by cloaked Klingon birds of prey near Bajoran space. One of the Klingon warbirds suffers severe damage and is forced to dock at Deep Space Nine. Eventually, it is discovered that the explosions are due to manufacturing mines, and that the Klingons are mining the space around Deep Space Nine in preparation for a future war. Worf proposes to Kern that they go undercover to discover the mine locations and activation codes on the docked bird of prey. Worf appeals to Kern's sense of family and the idea that this will discourage Gowron's ambitions, which Kern agrees will ruin the Empire. The mission is at first successful, and with Kern's up-to-date knowledge of the Klingon military, they are able to access the files, but they are interrupted by a Klingon officer. Worf pretends that he has a superior rank and seems to be able to send the officer away, but once Worf turns his back, Kern shoots the officer. Worf is shot, but Kern shows that the man was bringing a knife. Kern's intense depression is enhanced by the fact that he killed a man attacking in defense of the Empire. Worf gives the information to Sisko, but he's disillusioned by the fact that he was not able to realize the Klingon officer was going to kill him, feeling that a real Klingon would have. He comes to the conclusion that he is not of the Klingon or human world, but only has his Federation rank, and Kern has nothing at all. Worf has no idea what to do, since he no longer feels able to exercise Klingon honor and kill his brother. But Dax offers him a solution. Worf finds Kern drunk in his quarters contemplating suicide, a solution he would welcome if it were not so dishonorable. Kern reveals to Worf that while he never understood his brother, he always considered him honorable in his own way, and his greatest regret is that they were separated. At this point, Kern is so drunk he passes out. Meanwhile, on the Defiant, Major Kira detonates the mines and flushes out the cloaked birds of prey. Worf talks to Dr. Bashir, revealing that they are wiping Kern's memory and giving him a new identity. Julian warns Worf that Kern will not remember him and will only have the most basic skills and knowledge to live among Klingons, and that the process cannot be reversed. Kern, now Rodek, is then entrusted to a family friend who agrees to take him in as a son. Kern has lost all memory and accepts the situation. In the last scene, he looks to Worf and asks him, "Are you my family too?" To which Worf replies, "I have no family." So, to use the terminology my friend Andy would use, I rather liked this one. I thought this was pretty good. It was pretty much, you know, it's the whose life is it anyway scenario again, but in a very different way from the last time we saw it with the block of wood laying on the bed. I thought it was a good look into some of the Klingon ways without having to have, you know, a whole grand Klingon council episode or whatever. You know, it was a smaller episode, but it gave us a lot of insight into, you know, just a different way that their culture looks at things as compared to ours. And I thought, you know, there was some intensity to it. When, you know, like, you watch an episode like this, you know, you're just assuming, okay, nothing's going to really happen. And then you have Worf stabbing a dagger into his brother. It's like, oh my God, they're really doing this. I mean, they didn't kill him ultimately, but just the fact that he did that was a big, big thing for a show like this. So, Overall, I thought this was pretty good. It was thought-provoking. I think there's some logistical repercussions to Kern being introduced back into the Klingon world and just, oh yes, this is my son who you've never met, you know, that kind of thing, but that's fine. Overall, I really enjoyed it. What'd you guys think?
Well, it was nice to, you're right, you know, instead of it's, you know, all about the council and the politics, this gets into some of the minutia of day-to-day life and you know, Klingon society and norms and rules and
stuff.
So, it's and it's, you know, we've got the stuff with the Klingons are dropping the mines out around the, you know, at the edge of Bajoran space or whatever, which is illegal.
And also seems a little less than honorable, to be honest with you. Sneaking in there, setting mines up, and then going, "Hey, come and get us!" That doesn't really seem like an honorable fight to the death.
Well, they did wait a while, you know. No, we don't need any help.
Yeah, we could use some help, please. Please tow us to the station.
Andy?
I rather didn't like this one.
I did not like it. Let's get that out of the way.
There's too many negatives there. I don't know what that means.
The episode. I did quite enjoy the episode overall. I do have a couple of problems with it. On the one hand, this is a perfectly acceptable Klingon ritual that Sisko says, "I've had enough of your bullshit. This ain't happening on my station." And I thought, now, so some of the problem I have with this episode may come from what I thought they were going to do that they then didn't do. So that's me, not on the episode. I then thought we were going to have a nice exploration of the idea of honor killings, which I personally find abhorrent. And it still does happen in certain sections of the world, including this country, but certain religions. And normally it's against women. Which again, as everybody who listens to me knows, I am steadfastly against violence towards women. I thought they were going to explore the idea of honor killings and why this was a good idea and why it was okay for the Klingon society to do it, and then they didn't. Because my issue at this point was Sisko was, "You're not doing this on this station." What was wrong with them taking a shuttlecraft into the middle of deep space and Worf killing him there where it's nobody's issue? My second problem with the episode was with the ending. Yes, they have a problem with the honor killing. I can get behind the Federation having a problem with that. I don't understand, therefore, how they can mind wipe Kern, plastic surgery the guy, both without his consent, and be okay with it. So I wasn't particularly down with the ending. I get where Worf's coming from, but isn't this completely ignoring the wishes of Kurt?
And
yes,
that's where it's thought-provoking.
But I don't think... I would have to think that Julian, Worf, and Dax didn't tell Sisko. That they just... Which I... I could see Dax not say anything, but Julian, I don't know if he would... I guess he would go along with that as well.
Julian would presumably have to make a report.
Yeah. So, hey, where did these supplies go?
There must
go?
Be some
all
medical...
plastic surgery
yeah,
supplies
there must be
go
some
and...
medical log of what he's done. There has to be a medical log.
Julian, you seem to have used a lot of Mercurochrome. What's going on here?
Why did you fly Michael Westmore in from Earth?
Well, where's all that mind wiping stuff that we had around here?
I forgot.
Julian, where's all the hypno?
We find out that Julian is actually a serial rapist.
On the next very special Deep Space Nine,
I mind wipe all my victims so they don't. Well,
we did it to Kern.
What?
Yeah. I thought it was okay.
Like identity crisis all over again.
Yeah. So those two things kind of made me come away from this one a little bit uneasy or unsure of what they were actually saying.
I think you're supposed to be uneasy, to be honest with you.
I agree with you, and that to me is good writing. They're not actually coming out and telling me how I should feel about it.
But I think you're supposed to be walking away. You're supposed to be walking away saying, is that a good answer? Was that okay? Should they have done that? You know, it is a solution to the problem, but you have to scratch your head and say, is it the right solution?
Yes, but the problem is Kern is at a point where he is probably going to kill himself. He's already allowed himself to be shot by someone else because he can't take his own life. You know, he's a danger to himself and the other people around
him. I'm sorry,
him.
But isn't death by cop suicide? So if suicide is dishonorable, isn't that dishonorable as well?
Well, maybe not in the Klingon's eyes, because he'd still be killed by someone else. But yes, being killed by someone, you know, like by a guy whose hand was shaking, I mean, I see what you're saying, but yeah, well, that's the whole point. Kern is not in his right mind. And... You know, could they have... Do they have Klingon psychologists?
You go see the Klingon psychologist, you tell them all your problems, they say, why don't you just kill yourself, and they walk away.
Here, take this knife, don't call me in the morning.
Take two knives and call me in the morning.
And if you do call me, I'll shoot you in the face. You know, so I don't think he's going to get a lot of... I mean, but, again, that's... his society, so I... Yeah, it's... Where do you... Right, why couldn't they... You know, I never thought that they could have just gone out on a shuttle and Worf just comes back by himself and, you know, where's Kern? Oh, I dropped him off somewhere. You know, and you cut the Kern floating in space. You know?
Well, you'd have to give a James Bond line or something, you know. Like,
because then this...
He's just floating around.
Yeah. This then plays into the whole idea then that Bashir went along with this and didn't have a problem with it.
Or Sisko went along with it too.
Not if we go by your rationale that Sisko doesn't know about it.
Right, well, we don't know either way because it's not really, you know... And I don't remember if this is ever brought up again.
No, because we never see Kern again. This is Kern's last appearance on the show.
Kern's last
Yeah, so that was really my big moral problem with the episode, was that I buy Worf doing wacky things for his brother because all those wacky Klingons and their ways, but this ending relies on you buying into Starfleet by extension, and Sisko possibly, and Bashir and Dax definitely agreeing with Worf that this is the only course of action acceptable and not even putting up a fight about it.
And now, they do kind of enter into it a little cavalierly, too. It's like, I came up with a solution. Okay, let's do it, because it's almost 47 minutes into this thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not
exactly
like,
it.
It's not like, what alternatives do we have?
Yeah. And I kind of have a problem with two members of Starfleet just going along with this with no problem. Because it seems to me, and we'll take the real-life issue of honor killing off the table and just concentrate on the fictional Klingon Empire, it seems to me that the ritual, the Klingon ritual here, is no more silly or unacceptable or bloodthirsty than any other of the number of ridiculously silly bloodthirsty Klingon rituals we've seen throughout the years. And I don't understand why this is where Sisko draws his line in the sand. Because he knows that to the Klingons, an honourable death is that's ultimately their quest. They don't want to be an old Klingon, they want to go out fighting. And if Kern really believes in his dishonour, then this is the only way for him to get an honourable death in the eyes of his society. Then at what point does it become a prime directive violation that Sisko interfered with this?
Yeah, you tell him.
I'm wary of the fact that I am taking this a little bit too seriously.
No, I think that's I think you're doing it exactly right, Andy. I think, you know, sometimes we kind of gloss over some of this stuff in these episodes.
Yeah.
And I think you're 100% on the money. This is the issue that comes up here is, you know, first of all, is this the right solution for them? Second of all, if it is the right solution for them, how do they logistically come to that? And what are the ramifications from it on both ends? From the Federation point of view, you know, is this all, you know, something that they did in secret and they could all get, you know, court-martialed for it? Or is this something that's on the up and up and, oh, yeah, just change, wipe his mind, go ahead. You know, I mean,
so
you know,
and then
how do you reintegrate him into Klingon society? You know, I mean, he doesn't have a Klingon social security number. What's the deal here?
Yeah, there's too many logistical problems as well as in story problems with this episode for me ultimately to just hand wipe it away as, yeah, I enjoyed that one, or yeah, I didn't enjoy that one. I'm fine with an episode leaving me uneasy. I'm fine with an episode giving me no answers and letting me work out what I would do in such a situation. I felt that this episode didn't do that. It didn't go far enough into the reasoning behind it, because what Worf does here is he takes the choice out of Kern's hands. Kern does not agree to this. His brother doesn't even know that this has happened to him. And that is ultimately another big problem with it. It's, I get that we're talking about another society, and normally when they do other society issues like this with the Cardassians, with the Klingons, whatever, they're actually pointing at us and saying, what do we think of this thing that's going on in our society at the moment? But we'll do it through the prism of the Klingons, which is why I said, I thought, well, they're going to talk about honorable killings, they were going to talk about the right to die, maybe they were going to tackle all of that stuff, and ultimately all of that is thrown away simply to do a character study of Worf, who now has come to the conclusion that he's not a Klingon. He can never go back to the home world. He can never be a Klingon. Being living with the humans has softened him. And while that's an interesting character out for Worf, I kind of think we've already got there, and we've already accepted that that's what he is. And the writing, and this is a Ronald D. Moore script, so this was particularly painful, but the writing doesn't do enough to justify his decision. And ultimately, I feel that Worf has made this decision for Worf and not for Kern. And the fact that the Starfleet representatives went along with it with no issues whatsoever just left a really bad taste in my mouth when this one had finished.
It's like, boy, this is a real problem for you, Worf. All right, you know what?
Yeah.
Why don't we just wipe his memory and get rid of him?
Yeah.
Well, then you don't have to worry no more.
Well, what if you look at it coming from the angle of someone who's mentally ill, and there's treatments that are performed on people who are mentally ill that are not necessarily with their consent?
Yeah. Yes, I have absolutely no issues with that whatsoever, because again, you're talking about possibly to die if you make the decision to kill or not kill, but turn off the life support of a loved one or relative or whatever, your decision is obviously going to be an agonizing one. But if they're not in a position to make that decision for themselves, then it falls on you as the next member of the family. I mean, Kern was not in that position.
Right, but you know what Kern's position would have been. He would rather die than...
He wouldn't accept this.
He wouldn't accept this.
Exactly. So, but Kern is in his right mind. That's my argument.
I'm not so sure he's in his right mind. He's in a severe, severe depression.
Yeah, I would say that, yes.
So to say he's in his right mind, I don't know if that's correct.
Alright, so to say he's in a severe depression, there is no treatment or other courses of action that they can take. There is no possibility of finding him his own planet somewhere that's relatively uninhabited and say, right, live off your life here. You can hunt, because there's animals to hunt, to kill. You've got to make your own survival. Why? That's his option, he can't go back to the Empire. That's essentially. So he comes to Worf and says, I want you to do this ritual. I have no honor. There is nothing else for me. And they do, like, minor things in this direction that I'm talking about. They try to get him a job working as security. But Kern is not Worf. What Kern needs is a challenge. And I don't believe they couldn't find another challenge for him somewhere. Put him in a shuttle, send him into the friggin' Delta Quadrant.
Now, see, I think the subtlety is being lost on you there, Andy, because I don't think he was looking for a challenge. I think he was looking for his honor. And I think there was nothing that was going to give him back his honor.
Yeah, well, except
an honorable death. That was the only thing that was going to return his honor to him.
So he is in his right mind then, when he's asking to die.
You know what? Well, maybe Kern is just a whiny bitch because he lost all his power and his seat on the council. Right? Right? Nobody ever comes up from that angle, huh? I lost everything.
Kill me! I totally buy that he wanted to die as per Klingon ritual. My argument is he didn't ask for this. And Bill's question was, well, what do you do when somebody's not in the right mind as the next of kin? Kern, all right, you can argue he's suffering from a depression or a PTSD or something like that, whatever the Klingon version of that is. But he doesn't agree to this.
See, the problem, as I see it, is that he was stupid. And he came to Deep Space Nine to do this. Why didn't he just stay on Klingon? What is the homeworld called?
Kronos.
Okay, why didn't he just stay on Kronos and ask somebody there to do it? Where it's an acceptable practice.
It has to be a family member.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? I feel like a brother to you. Now kill me.
Yeah. Or, alternatively, you text Worf. You say, I'm having a bit of a bad time of it at the minute. Do you want to come out and meet me on some planet in between and we can have a drink? And Worf will say, okay. Because Worf happily went along with the ritual at the beginning. So if they'd done it anywhere but Deep Space Nine, it would all be over within 10 minutes.
Yeah. And it would not have been anything that he could have been convicted of either, because it's an acceptable practice there. So it should have been, can you take a short leave and come here?
Yeah.
Brother. Although I don't know if Worf could come there because he was persona non grata with the with the council at that point. So I don't know.
But they don't have to be on Kronos to do this. That's the point. They could meet on Bajor and do it.
But there it's a place where he can be convicted of.
All right. Well, again, like I said at the beginning, you go in a shuttle in the middle of deep space and do it there.
Well, you know, Sisko really wasn't furious because he never once hyperventilated during that speech.
How could you kill him?
I just had it with you. He wasn't angry. It was all show.
Yes. Anyway, they were my major problems with it. Other than that, I quite liked it.
I agree with most of your problems with it. And I agree that they kind of rushed through this. This probably should have been a subplot for a few weeks before they actually got to it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, have Kurt on the station for two or three episodes before this. trying out different jobs, and you could have had a couple of scenes with trying to work in Quark's bar, working security, trying to work with Major Kira, all of this. Yeah, this could have been a funny subplot that ended with Kern saying, right, I want to die, I've had enough of this shit.
Yeah, and you didn't have to, you know, you wouldn't have to make it a two-part episode. I don't think this would have lent itself to a two-part, but I do think it would have worked very well as a subplot for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then finally coming to a head in this episode. Mm-hmm. And maybe if they did it that way, you could have had it kind of running concurrently, where, you know, at the same time that Worf and, you know, Kern is just showing how depressed he is and whatever, you could have had it as kind of the climax of another episode where Worf plunges the dagger into him.
Mm.
And then you start off this episode with them saving him, and then, you know, the powers that be coming up with this solution and maybe doing it over Worf's objection. I think that might have been interesting.
Yeah, but I don't think the show's quite there yet with its serialized subplots, is it?
I do think this was a very enjoyable episode, and it did raise those points that we're talking about, so that's where I think it really succeeds. But, you know, could it have been done better? Yeah, it probably could have, and I think, you know, you hit on some of the things that, you know, maybe they kind of rushed through, and I'm on board with that thought. You know, I think, like I said, having it as a running subplot for a few weeks probably would have been a really good way to do this.
Yeah, and it does play into Star Trek's old Idic philosophy that there are some things in Klingon culture that we don't understand, but we have to accept them because it's their culture, not ours.
I was just hit with a good song parody.
What is it?
Well, I was just... well, for the name Nogra, I was thinking of... My brother was upset and I didn't know what to do, so I gave him to a man and his name is Zenogra. No, Nogra. Da 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 da. Kern was upset because he had nothing fun. And something, so we wiped, you know, we had to get it done. Now he is Rodek. Rodek. Sorry, that's where my mind goes sometimes.
Sometimes your mind goes into dark and mysterious places.
Oh, should we? Well, no, because if we say it now, the people will be looking for it, and if we don't produce, then they'll be mad at the end of the show. Not this show, but the whole podcast. But now that I've said it, people are going to go, what do you mean, Dr. Bill?
They often say that.
Yes, in that tone, too. What do you mean? Oh. So, I texted you guys a while ago about taking the Don McLean song, American Pie, and changing it to doing the whole Deep Space Nine thing.
Right.
That's all I got so far. I got a couple lines here and there, you know, I'm like, you know, bye-bye, you know, Miss Bajoran Kai, something, 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 something. But the... Something,
it's gold,
something.
Bill, it's gold.
Yeah, it's there. It's the inkling of an idea, but, you know, I'm going to have to start writing things down. It'll take a long time, but we still have plenty of time, kind of, maybe. So, I might be eliciting your help, Andy and Paul, for some lyrics. Or maybe a listener would like to write an entire parody song, and we'll just sing it. That would even be better.
See, for me, we are going
an enticement.
we are going far afield here. But when I've tried to
encourage us to sing,
yeah, really. When I've tried to do a parody song, the way I do, the way I've done it, is to actually write out the real lyrics and then slowly just conform them.
Well,
I can't just do it off the top of my head because I'll miss something.
Well, yeah, that's, I'm, you know, Andy and I do sometimes, but, yeah.
I still like, what's his name? Tarek Noir. The one from Deep Space Nine was Tarek Noir. No. Now it's Tarek Noir, not Deep Space Nine. Why was it Tarek Noir? Nobody knows Picardassia.
Nobody knows the curve? I don't know.
Yeah, we need to make it fit better. Anyway, should we not actually rate this episode?
No, we should not.
Oh, no. because we, well, I mean, have we covered everything? I mean, the subplot was kind of, was interesting.
Oh, the subplot about the Klingon...
with the mines, I guess.
Mine?
Yeah.
They call it a mine. sorry. Yeah, like I said, I thought that was kind of... I thought it was well executed, but I thought it was somewhat contrived, because I don't think the Klingons would do that. That's not an honorable way to fight.
Hmm.
You know, I mentioned that earlier, but we really didn't hit on it. I mean, do you think my criticism of that is accurate, or did they just pay lip service to honor?
All's fair in love and war.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one of the things they've talked about in the show a lot of times. There's an awful lot of talk in the Klingon Empire about honor, but let's be honest, Worf is the only honorable Klingon we've ever actually met. Everyone else is all jockeying for political power, aren't they?
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's all bullshit.
That's
General Martok is pretty... Well, we haven't really seen... They'll expand on him later.
That's the, it's the Klingon version of putting a bucket on a door and saying, hey, come on in. Bucket of water at the top. I don't know. It just doesn't seem honorable to me at all. And, not that it isn't a common warfare thing. It just seems, especially, you know, we're going to cloak, we're going to sneak over and put these mines there. They're not going to know.
I always have to laugh when they say, you know, the rules of warfare, the rules of engagement. I'm like, it's war. What? We have rules? Oh, you can't do this in war. Oh, but you can just kill me a different way. Okay.
But I'm thinking that Klingons would follow the Geneva Convention without there actually being a need for the Geneva Convention.
The Klingon Geneva Convention, so...
Klingon Convention.
The Klingon Convention. The Kronos Convention will serve you one serving of blood wine and gok a day. We'll treat our... We will not send our prisoners... Yes, and you will go to Aurora Bente to mine dilithium. For the rest of your life! Ah, that's fair.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
We can't judge Klingon society because we're not Klingon.
Speak for yourself.
So, you don't understand the Klingons.
I'm offended on your behalf.
So what would Wayne say?
I'm thinking,
that's exactly what I was thinking of. So that's why.
That's a rough way to tell Blaine he's been fired.
I think somebody needs to make the recording of Blaine Says, so that we can do that whenever we read one of these letters.
Blaine Says! Letter time! Excellent!
And then he makes it even harder on me by being W. Blaine Dallas, so it's like it's Wayne. Anyway.
We could get a new guy called B. Wayne.
We could replace him with B. Wayne.
B. Wayne Growler.
Okay, so B. Wayne says, hi guys, OG, another Klingon episode. Last time one of these happened, I noted that I dislike them because the characters rarely seem to learn anything. Well, not only do they not learn much this time, but Kern actually unlearns much of what he learned before. I do appreciate the change to put Worf's character through the ringer, making him choose between his Starfleet duties and his duty as a Klingon, but I'd appreciate it more if we ever had a storyline about him that wasn't about that. It's coming up shortly, though, thankfully. Not badly made, really. It's just not a corner of the Star Trek universe that I particularly care for. Blaine. Okay, that's fair. I thought it was well done, like I said. I think the questions that we talked about arise in it, and those are issues. But otherwise, I rather like this one.
Mm-hmm. I think that's because I don't know that Ronald D. Moore can write a bad episode. There's always something...
I'm sure he can if he tried.
Yeah, but Aquiel just came to mind as I said that, which
there
was a truly awful episode of The Next Generation. But for the most part, there's always something in there, a character or a moment or a line or something that makes it worth your while. And like I said, I don't not like this episode.
You hate
it. You know what we totally missed to talk about in this... episode is the opening with Jadzia and Worf fighting/flirting.
That wasn't fighting, dude. That was totally flirting. If Kern hadn't shown up, they were both ended up in Dax's quarters with their clothes off. I'm telling you now.
Isn't it just like a little brother? Kern, Klingon cock blocker.
Because Worf wanted to see if the spots really did go all the way down, and Jadzia wanted to see if the Klingon cock really did have those ridges on.
Which, with that happening, because clearly that's the beginning of a relationship there. Mm-hmm. With that happening, it kind of goes against the thought that we had that they were, they were going to go into this, and as they went into it, they saw that this chemistry existed and they decided to hit on it. It seems more like maybe this was planned all along. Maybe they felt there was chemistry between the actors as soon as they decided to bring Michael Dorn over. And once they did, they said, you know, let's slowly create a romance between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's, he's like, well, Worf says, you're obviously wearing that outfit to gain an advantage in our sparring. And she turned, you know, she says, oh, I can't believe you would say that. And she had a straight look on her face, and she turned around and then she smiled when he couldn't see her face. And she's like, that's right. Check me out.
Check it out, man.
That's all. That's all I have on that. It was, you know, a nice little... and then later she's the one that comes to his defense with, you know, she's ready to defend him to the guy that's in charge. What's his name? Captain Hyperventilate. Sisko. I didn't forget
it. Stop it. Hold, man. I can't breathe.
So, yeah. Okay. You gonna rate it?
Okay. Well, this is one where your arguments and discussions have changed me a little. You've wiped my memory. I originally had penciled this in as a 4 because I really liked it. I thought it was really, really solid and kind of thought-provoking and fun. Not fun, but you know what I mean. But there are some weaknesses, and I think it would have been better if they developed it more slowly, and it's kind of something that as we went along thinking about it, that kind of brought it down a little bit, so I went down to a 3.5.
I think I'll give it 3 full bathless there. The long pointy sticks, and then half a that little tiny stick, you know, half a stick that Worf had. I can't remember what that was called. The one that he was trying
to. The pain sticks.
No, not the
pain sticks. He was arguing with Jedzi about which was a better weapon.
Yeah, because right. He was able to snap the Bathleth in half with the other weapon. So anyway, 3.5 for me. Some of our discussion, you know, is I think that's about where I was going to be to begin with. But we had some thought-provoking talk here. I didn't think we were going to get. So I appreciate that, Andy.
I don't appreciate it at all. I prefer to be just right.
Don't question me. Just listen to me. Obey me.
You Patak.
Nogra Patak.
You're quite a Patak.
Why do you just sound like Terry Jones doing a woman?
I'm a Klingon warrior. You won't go to Stovokor because you're a very naughty boy. Whoa, I don't want to cross the river of blood. It gets all on my shoes.
I'm sorry I sound like Terry Jones doing a woman. That's my English accent.
Do they have blood spam over in Stovokor? I can't eat regular bloodworms.
And you don't like suicide.
Oh, did you shot?
Never mind. What's your rating, Andy?
3.
3 mind wipes.
Yes.
One for each.
It's three, one for each of the orgasms. Dax would have got this if Conan showed up.
And the dog give it a hit.
Right, I really want to call this episode Klingon Cock Blocker, but with a K. But do you think we'd get away with that?
Take the C out, maybe. Maybe just do K-O-K.
I don't know. I don't know whether some people would sulk at that title. So, come up with a better one, Bill.
Alright, well, I'll work on it.
I think that's a perfectly acceptable title, but apparently it may be considered sexist. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing at the moment.
I got no house. I got no lands. I got no seat in the car. I got nothing.
They should have had Sylvester Stallone play Kern.
He's lying on the floor. I got no honor. There's blood everywhere. I just want to kill him with a bat left. I woke up in the infirmary. I got a knife in my chest. I just had it. Why you kill me?
Tell me that wouldn't have been great.
That would have been awesome. Absolutely. Anyway, we've got emails. Do we want to do emails?
Email.
I don't have it up. I don't remember the login.
We got three.
Uh-oh.
Well, actually, we have two, and one. We still have the one from Chip Mullins. Did he comment on this one? Let me see. Nope. So we have two.
Okay. I don't think email's in my contract.
Alright, well, I'll read one of them.
I'll read one of them.
First one. From Faith Gillian. Hello, Faith. Welcome aboard. Hello, Niners. And I happen to like that. I kind of like being called Niners. I recently found your podcast when I started my data entry / filling job, and I knew I needed something to help me pass the time. I am alone in a warehouse for about 6 hours every day. I immediately searched for my favorite topics, which included Star Trek, and your podcast had me hooked. This is my favorite series, and I often spend hours analyzing characters and episodes in my head. My husband will discuss them with me, but he gets bored after a while with my obsession over detail. So when I discovered that you guys go into as much detail as I tend to, I was thrilled and have been greatly enjoying it ever since. I have been dying to email in about episodes that you have covered, but I'm determined to go through them in order like you guys have. Thus far, I am only in season 2 and would be making comments about episodes you talked about years ago. However, I should be able to catch up to where you are in about 2 or 3 weeks, and then I will probably become a consistent feedback giver. Thank you for taking the time and effort to put out the podcast, Faith G. P.S. I have tried to rate and review your podcast. Yes, 5 stars/bars. But iTunes seems to hate me for doing so and shuts down immediately after. When I get that figured out, I will leave the review. Well, you know what? iTunes hates us. And they don't let me. We would probably have a couple of hundred 5-star reviews if iTunes hadn't conspired against us to hold us down. They're trying to hold down. The man is trying to hold us down, man. No, but thanks for the email, Faith. That's really nice. I'm glad. And we all know what it's like to have a significant other who doesn't want to hear us babble. So
yes.
So please feel free to babble in your emails to us, and we will appreciate them for what they are.
Mm. Well, I'm glad we could keep you company, you know, when you're all by yourself. Faith is all by yourself in the warehouse.
I think you just freaked her out. No, it's always
she's listened to her last episode.
Yeah. It's always nice to have new listeners.
This guy's singing to me.
It's nice to have new listeners, so thank you for emailing in, Faith. And like Bill said, but only slightly less creepily, I'm glad we can make your work day go slightly quicker. Sounds a bit rough being in a warehouse on your own for 6 hours. I always think you're waiting for a drug dealer in a warehouse. Too many films. Our next email is from Philip. He doesn't provide a surname. I doubt that it's that Philip, but you never know.
Philip, I'm ready, Philip!
Philip! The corgis have shat all over the carpet again, Philip!
Oh, Lizzie! Oh, get the servants to clean it up!
Let me have the fantasy that it's him.
Okay. Missing the point is the title of his email, so I hope he's
maybe I am.
It was Dax that was missing the point in the episode. Guys, this is the second email I've sent, and when I wrote / sent the first one, Bill wasn't working with you yet. So I just wanted to say thanks, Bill. Great stuff. It's still brilliant to hear three mates playing off one another whilst enjoying DS9 and a decent laugh. I'm glad he said playing off of one another and not, well, you know where I'm going with that. Philip continues, also wanted to thank all three of you for giving me the push to finally watch the entire run of the original series. I watched a handful of episodes and the movies growing up, but never really saw many. Listening to you guys talk about the original series decided me to finally get around to watching them. I've always been worried that the credit the early shows had was based on nostalgia as actual quality. Obviously, I was wrong. Naturally, there are some weak episodes, but the quality of the writing was really phenomenal and scurrily insightful at times. So much of it is still relevant today as clearly a testament to the quality. And some nostalgia, I guess. I just heard your review on Way of the Warrior and The Visitor, and here comes my main reason for emailing me, heard you read through the one-star review you received. It's tough not to get insulting and talk about pat-led preschoolers learning to use iTunes, but you guys were cool about it, so I won't lower myself. After all, everyone has a right to their opinion, and I guess critical reviews warn others of a like mind that this might not be the thing. My opinion is that this person didn't really listen properly, or enough, as they clearly missed the entire point. Then you made them go. As I said in my first email to you, I know DS9 backwards, having watched it more times than I can count, and the three of you and Sean really hated some of the early episodes I quite enjoyed. Alan Moraine! And likewise, some of your favourite episodes I found pretty dull. The whole point in listening to a podcast about something you know and love is to get something new from it, isn't it? It's cool to hear other people mirror your opinions at times, sure, but even if you totally agree with what's being said, the fact that you care enough to want to argue about it, or hear something that makes you rethink, is also kind of the point, isn't it? Listening to the three of you and Scott Gardner talk was a perfect example of that. Scott's opinion of Sisko is totally removed from my own, and I don't get where he's coming from, but he made some good points about DS9 and even Voyager, which I usually dismiss. I've seen them all, but most of them blend into one blurry mishmash of Janeway's witch cackle, Neelix's insipid grin, and ever Ensign Kim's blank stir. Needless to say, I will never go back and start from Time Taker. That's good. I like that. But rewatching from the Borg stuff is now definitely in my mind, as it sounds like I might have glossed over some quality. Sorry, guys, I've jabbered on longer than expected. Just wanted to thank you again. You do a great job of keeping this particular nerd entertained, exactly because you clearly try to be objective, even when you're faced with dross, and DS9 definitely had some. You do your best to find something positive in pretty much every episode. Now we're at the point when so much of DS9 really earns its place at the top of the science fiction tree, I'm guessing there will be less to criticise going forward. Maybe one star dude should start listening again, or maybe they should just go. Phil. Well, thank you, Phil. It was nice to have you leap to our defence against one star dude, but like you said, the guy's entitled to his opinion, and you know, if free entertainment isn't his thing, well, he can listen to other free entertainment, can't he?
That's, I totally agree. Totally agree. Yes. It's you know, everybody's got their right to opinion, and it would be arrogant to say anything we do is good for everybody. I mean, that's just, you know, we're not the show for that guy. That's all right. Some people tune in and they want a show where you're just going to gush over everything. Some people tune in and they want a show where you're going to criticize everything. I personally, and I don't mean to speak for you guys, but I think you both agree with me, I would rather it be fair and balanced, no commentary on the news media there, but that we give our honest opinions as to what we do like, what we don't like, and sometimes what we're criticizing doesn't mean we don't like it, it's just trying to pull things out of the episode to say this could be done better, this could be done, you know, this was done really well or whatever. We're not necessarily saying, oh, this is horrible, although sometimes we are. I think to try and pretend that every episode is a gem is kind of silly. I think the show is a gem, but, you know, there's highs and lows, and I think we try to be fair and honest in our opinions on them. And I think that's reflected by sometimes the fact that we don't agree. Every once in a while, you know, one of us really likes an episode and the other two hate it, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I really love about working with Paul is you like it when there's somebody on the panel who doesn't agree.
I love it.
Yeah, because it can make for a better episode.
That's because he's Dr. No.
Well, but my perspective has always been, and it's with every form of art that you can come up with, I never mind when somebody disagrees with my opinion. I just don't like when somebody disagrees with my opinion for no reason. You know, or when people come up with their opinions based on no thought whatsoever. You know, when a trailer comes out and they're like, oh, that movie's going to suck. You know, you really haven't given it much of a chance yet. And now if you say, I saw the trailer, I really didn't like what they showed, at least you've given me something. You know, I think there's people who just want to jump to conclusions before they actually give things a chance. And that's a problem I have. Or, you know, I didn't like this. Why didn't you like it? Because it sucks. Well, that's, you know, that's still giving your opinion. That's not giving a concrete reason for your opinion. And if your opinion is, I didn't care for the way they did this, it didn't seem realistic, or it was too serious, or whatever, now you're giving a reason. So, you know, to me, that's the only thing. It's just, you know, have a reason for your opinions. And as long as you do, whether it agrees with mine or not, in fact, if it doesn't agree with mine, I appreciate it even more.
Very good.
So, is that it for this episode?
I think that's pretty much it, yeah.
So, what are we doing next time?
Next time on an all-new episode of Listen to the Prophets, Quark goes on strike. Our association. No.
Quark doesn't go on strike.
Oh, yeah, Romp goes on strike. That was close.
You were close. Because he's forming a union.
Overworked and underpaid.
No sick days, no vacations.
Is Quark running a sweatshop in space?
Aren't you gonna do something?
I'm gonna dock his head.
Enough is enough.
We're all on strike.
The revolution has begun.
Union! Union!
Will Quark's brother bring Ferengi civilization to its knees?
What's happened to you?
On the next Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
No, Quark won't like that.
Neither will the government.
The FDA? No? No? Or FBA? Or, I don't know.
Whatever they're called.
The FDA.
The Ferengi money people.
Yeah.
The FMP.
The Ferengi money people?
Yeah, that's the actual name.
FCA, Ferengi Commerce Authority.
There you go.
Yeah. Those guys.
So we're going to get
SMG,
to see Brunt again.
Ferengi money grabbers.
We're going to get to see Brunt.
Oh, is Brunt in it? Oh, I do
yes.
like Brunt. Oh,
yes.
Good. All right,
well, that's it for this time. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Listen to the Prophets, a Deep Space Nine podcast, is a Two True Freaks presentation. It is hosted by Andrew Leyland and Paul Spataro. The music and sound clips used in the show are copyright CBS and Paramount Entertainment. If you like to buy stuff from Amazon, and who doesn't, why not drop by the twotruefreaks.com website, where if you click the little link that we have there, it will take you straight through that site, and whilst it won't cost you any extra, we'll put a few shekels in our tip jar, which helps create content like this. We very much hope you enjoyed listening to The Prophets. Every episode is dedicated to the memory of our pal, Sean Engel.
Sit, Ubu, sit.